Game day at my place is kind of a big deal. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor patio setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grilling accessories, Wayfair's got it all, and it shows up fast. I'm talking championship level, fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game and head to Wayfair.com now to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
I want to tell you about a new podcast from Odyssey called Family Lore. It's about interesting family stories and the truth behind them. It's available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
Welcome to the Leftovers Podcast. Derek Kramer, Frank Arcuri on WGR550.com, the weekly podcast. It's getting some progress here, Frank, because we're looking into scheduling for two podcasts a week.
That's right.
Looking to do that.
Two podcasts a week. And now we cracked the first door open here for guests. The inaugural guest to the Leftovers Podcast, a guy that we've known for quite some time and our days at Buff State. He is the morning show producer. He is the hockey aficionado. He is Brayton Wilson. Brayton, thanks for coming down the hall and hanging out today, bro.
A hockey aficionado. That's quite the honor that I'm getting here, but thank you for having me.
You see, because Frank and I are the hosts of the Leftovers Podcast, we have to give somebody honors.
Somebody needs to be top dog here.
Someone has to be the acclimated one of the group, so it's you.
Yeah.
Good work.
It's you.
Thanks. I don't know what I did, but okay, sure.
Better than us. That's what. All right.
Right on. Your paycheck will be in the mail by the end of the week.
Wait, what? I'm not even getting paid for this, Frank.
Oh, man.
Neither am I.
Mr. Bankroll over here.
I'm not Mr. Bankroll. Brayton's Mr. Bankroll.
I'd love to take your money. Please, hand it over now.
I've got $3.
Yeah.
Anyway, Brayton, we brought you in.
I never said how much.
Focus, Frank. Welcome to the Leftovers Podcast. Brayton, thanks for coming, of course, and we just approached you a couple days ago because there was a big deal going on. If you've lived under a rock, Casey Mittelstadt signed, Will Borgen signed, they've been signing Judd Peterson out of college just for fair measure. And for me to be able to yell it louder for those in the back, you can stop being worried about taking college prospects, you dinks. So Brayton, Borgen, Mittelstadt, they are the big pieces here that have signed with the Sabres. Borgen going to Rochester, Mittelstadt playing against Detroit on Thursday night, and the excitement is real.
Yeah, I mean, he's probably the best prospect to come to Buffalo since Jack Eichel when he made his appearance in his rookie year. Mm-hmm. I mean, for a kid like Casey Mittelstadt, putting up the statistics that he did, you look on paper and it's like, that wasn't exactly the greatest of years that Casey Mittelstadt had. Of course, he didn't get nominated as even a top 10 finalist for the Hobie Baker Award. But, I mean, the one year that he put in at Minnesota was quite the year that he had. For a freshman who really was set on going to Minnesota, and he really wanted to put a good effort in his first year. He goes to the World Juniors, puts up an MVP performance, which really he was the best player of that entire tournament. I mean, I was there covering it the entire tournament.
Yes, you were.
There was maybe one other player that really stood out in my eyes, and that was Elias Pettersson, the Canucks prospect,
yep,
who I think is the leading scorer in the Swedish Hockey League this year. But, I mean, Casey Mittelstadt just stood out to me by a mile. And, I mean, he was great in the outdoor game. He was great in the preliminary round. I think teams did a nice job of shutting him down more in the playoff rounds, but he was still able to make plays and get free and create chances for not only himself but his teammates. And then he goes back to college, continues to perform well, and earns himself a contract. I think everybody was surprised when Minnesota didn't make the NCAA tournament, but they didn't exactly put up the greatest of years. So it's great to get Mittelstadt out of college. It's great to get him here. And of course, today he was practicing with Sam Reinhart and Evan Rodriguez, which should be a really, really nice thing to see. I think that all three of those guys can certainly make plays. Mittelstadt's going to obviously be able to keep up with a guy like Rodriguez, or I should actually say maybe Rodriguez would be able to keep up with a guy like Mittelstadt, whereas Reinhardt's going to be kind of that guy that, is going to be that guy that shifts in when, everybody's trying to contain both Rodriguez and Mittelstadt. Reinhardt might be that guy that shifts into his own where he can set himself up to score goals or even, be a guy that's really under the radar. But Middlestat's going to be fun. Borgen getting to Rochester and actually getting him signed to the entry-level deal that kicks in next year is a really big plus for the Sabres, because not only is he going to be on an extra year, but it also limits the contract numbers for the Sabres this year. So I think that they're officially at 47 contracts, if I'm correct, with Middlestat. And if there was added him in 48, then that might be a little complicated, because they might be able to use the rest of the three contracts that they have available to sign other players if they really truly want to. But no, Borgen's going to get a great experience going to Rochester. He's going to play in the playoffs down there. And man, what a huge get for the Amerks is they're going to get a good two-way defenseman who skates really well on his own end, skates really well on the offensive end. He's got a little bit of a grittiness to his game. And yeah, we'll see where Borgen develops into. And I think that Borgen, he can certainly develop at least into a top, you know, a top four defenseman, maybe a second pairing, third pairing defenseman in the NHL.
So now the biggest thing, though, with these two guys coming into the fold is hope. There's, in a season where we desperately needed something positive to think about with the Sabres, Middlestat comes in here with six games left, and he gives a beacon of hope that this Sabres season refused to give anyone. I mean, you had Jack Eichel just doing his usual thing all season.
Until he got hurt.
And it still wasn't enough.
Yeah.
I mean, not even close. This team has been, for the most part, a disaster this year. And you see flashes from this team every now and then, but it's not enough to go ahead and say anything more than, oh, okay, it's just the Sabres. Meanwhile, the Bills this year, they stole all the headlines. They made the playoffs. Next thing you know, they're the team that you get all excited for, whereas in the past, it's been about the Sabres trying to help save you from the Bills. Now the Bills are saving us from the Sabres, and now the Sabres, here they are, with Middlestat coming in, with two home games left, including this game against Detroit, and then bobblehead night with Ottawa. I mean, this is going to be, it's going to be fun to see if the crowd actually turns out a little more positively for these last two home games.
I think we're already seeing it. On StubHub, I think the cheapest tickets are, I mean, they're not no longer in the single digits or in just like the teens or anything like that.
You want to talk about missed opportunities, 25, Frank?
Yeah.
$25.
$25.
Okay.
Right now.
Yeah. Oh, that's good.
I saw that.
That's good.
They were at $6 last week, and Frank and I were talking about it. We're like, hey, maybe we go to one more game. $6, right? And well,
now that Middlestat signed, it's been bumped
up. But the question is, $25, that's still a pretty fair price.
Yeah.
Certainly.
It still is, absolutely. I mean,
as boring as this team has been, you know, there's a ray of excitement, a ray of hope, and a reason to go.
Right.
And that's the biggest thing in this final six games is there's reasons to watch again.
Yeah, and it's only unfortunate that there's only two home games left, because they got to go on the road four times, and you're only going to get the chance to see Casey Middlestat live in person two more times the rest of the season. Yep. And then you have to wait till October, when he'll probably make the opening night roster again. Because, I mean, he's just that good of a player. He's extremely skilled. He's got a great hockey sense. I mean, just watching him stick handle like he's in a phone booth. He can make those tight turns. He can make those tight moves with his hands. And I mean, he possesses some really good speed as well. So, I mean, he could do pretty much everything that he can possible to make plays for not only himself but his teammates. He's the type of player that is sort of like Jack Eichel. He can make everyone around him better while also being one of the better players out there on the ice and creating offense for the Sabres.
Yeah, and again, it's awesome to see, though, that, you know, this whole college player fear narrative can be put to rest.
I mean, obviously it's never going to be put to rest, because there are going to be some players that, you know, oh, hey, it's going to happen again, because it will happen again until the NHL gets rid of that clause, and it's, you know, in the CBA,
new CBA
that has
soon.
It might come soon. But then again, you know, when you look at it, the college players do technically, they do have the right. Every player has the right to go to free agency, whether they're drafted or whatnot.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at the OHL players. One of the guys that is going to free agency is Adam Mascarin. He's already told the Florida Panthers, hey, I know you drafted me in the second round, but I'm not going to sign with you guys. I want to go to back in the NHL draft or, you know, whatever. But
2016 second round pick.
It's going to happen no matter what. And he's part of the Mark Pezic deal.
He was, yeah.
Yeah, so,
yeah,
so
I remember the Frank brought that up
looking,
immediately.
So the Sabres look somewhat better in that deal. I mean, Rasmus Asplund is a huge get, and he might be a guy that comes over after
North
his
America
season ends in Swedish Hockey League. But, I mean, it's going to happen no matter what. But the whole fact that, like, oh, it only happens to Buffalo.
No.
That you could pretty much kind of kill because, hey, the Sabres just signed two of their top college prospects to contracts in 2 days.
Yeah.
So.
And a third for good measure.
And absolutely. I mean, technically with Judd Peterson, it's an amateur tryout with the Rochester Americans, so it's not anything with the Sabres. He's pretty much getting an extra tryout with Rochester to see if there's any chance that, you know, Jason Botra wants to proceed with him moving forward. I mean, Judd Peterson, right off the bat, after they drafted him, he really got off to a slow, slow start. I mean, he didn't really start picking up his game until last season with St. Cloud State, where he put up some good numbers, and then this year he continued to put up some decent numbers. And, you know, I think that was his saving grace, because I think if he would have continued to put up some mediocre numbers, he wouldn't have even gotten a consideration for an amateur tryout with the Amherst. So if he performs really well, then maybe he gets an AHL contract next year, kind of like Anthony Florentino did with Providence. Or maybe if Jason Botrel gets impressed enough, he gets an entry-level contract, a very low level entry level contract where, you know, he'll probably play in Rochester for a few years before getting any consideration of getting called up.
This is the Leftovers Podcast. You're listening here on WGR550.com.
I think it also depends on Judd Peterson's age, because I think he's 24, so he'd only get the 1 year entry level contract if he even gets one this offseason. And then, you know,
this was a guy a lot of people forgot about too, because he was drafted in 2012.
There's not many 2012 draft picks that are still out there that have gone unsigned and that are still have the rights held. Judd Peterson's probably one of the last ones in the entire NHL. So,
and the only reason was because he went to college.
Yeah.
He spent 2 years playing in the USHL after being drafted.
It's good that Judd Peterson is going to get this chance here in Rochester because he is a player that has potential to be something more than what he is, but he certainly has to prove it in the last part of the season for Rochester and heading into the playoffs. Because, I mean, if he doesn't put up any really good showing, maybe he gets an AHL contract, but, I mean, maybe the Sabres probably will just move on because, hey, it's not Jason Botrell's pick. Tim Murray's pick. It was Darcy Regier's.
It's a Darcy Regier pick, and it's obviously too good depth for Rochester to have. The more they need as much depth as they can heading into the playoffs.
Yeah, any little help that they can have will certainly be a factor for them.
Yeah, and that's Brayton Wilson joining us, by the way, if you haven't recognized the smooth tones of his voice there. The co-host of Sports Talk Sunday.
The revamped Sports Talk Sunday.
Sports Talk Sunday. The producer for Howard and Jeremy. And the guy playing Guess the Prospect every day with those guys.
I didn't have anything prepared for a hockey one or a football one today. I'm sorry.
That's okay. I don't want to play the game.
Okay.
I'm not good at guessing things. But so the biggest thing, though, Brayton, is there's still work to do. Obviously, Casey Mittelstadt and Will Borgen alone do not help the organization moving forward that quickly. They still need some help. And what do you think that the Sabres need to do in the offseason, moving into October, to give fans more hope again before they come crashing down, to avoid crashing everyone's hopes? What do you think needs to happen?
I think the first thing they need to do is pray, really, really pray that they win the draft lottery, because Rasmus Dahlin is a phenomenal prospect. I mean, we were all raving about Jack Eichel, Connor McDavid, even Austin Matthews when he came out. But, I mean, they were all forwards. This is the first defenseman that has come out that we've been raving about like he's, you know, hot cheddar or something like that for the first time in a really long time. I mean, some people are saying he's the best defensive prospect to come out in 25 years. That's saying something, because we've had Drew Doughty as a part of the top part of the draft. We've had Victor Hedman as part of the top part of the draft. And both of those guys are top five defensemen in the NHL, arguably. Well, Rasmus Dahlin, he's a really unique type of defenseman, because when he was younger, he played forward most of the time. But then when he was in his junior team with Frölunda, they pretty much said, hey, we need defense. Do you want to play defense? And he said, sure, I'll learn how to play defense. He did, and at age 15, 16, he pretty much got a deal from the big club in the Swedish Hockey League, and he's been there with them for a couple years at least. And he played in the World Juniors last year, played in the World Juniors this year, and especially this year. As a 17-year-old, he was their leading ice time getter, and he was the best defenseman of the entire tournament, and by far he was the best defenseman. Mm-hmm. He's pretty much a forward in a defenseman's body, but he has the capabilities of defending well in his own end and playing 20 to 25 minutes a night, even going further than 25 minutes a night. At the World Juniors, I think he was averaging just over 26 minutes a night. And for a Swedish team that relies heavily on their defenders, to play 26 minutes a night as a 17-year-old is pretty remarkable. And what he's done in Frölunda this year and last year has been extremely unique, just because he makes men that are maybe half of his age, you know, or, you know, that are double his age, I should say, he makes them look silly, because he just is so shifty with the puck. He's so crafty. He just skates extremely well. He evades checkers. He evades any type of defensive, you know, force that the opposition brings on him. While at the same time, he's very solid in his own end. He's not afraid to, lay the lumber on people. The only thing that's concerning maybe about his game is his shot. I don't think his shot is exactly, you know, all that great. And when I say shot, I mean like a slap shot. Like, I mean, the power of his shot isn't great, but he's got a quick release on his wrist shot. And I mean, his slap shot isn't horrible, but it can be certainly be better. But he's without a doubt the top prospect in this year's draft. And if the Sabres can get him in the draft lottery, that would be a huge get, because I think that not only gets the morale of the fans back up, but I think that you have your top defenseman, your franchise defenseman in place for another 15 years, hopefully more than 15 years, because Dahlin is an exceptional talent and he should easily be a top-tier defenseman in the NHL for many, many years to come. And other than that, looking ahead to the Sabres' future, I mean, you certainly want to get some more scoring assets. I think that getting a guy like Victor Olofsson from Frölunda, Rasmus Dahlin's teammate, getting him signed to an entry-level contract is huge. I mean, he's a 2013 draft pick signing, or draft pick, I should say. And I got the chance to talk to him, and he seems kind of excited at the idea of coming over to Buffalo and actually getting the chance to play in the NHL, because, I mean, if they don't sign him before June 1st, he becomes a free agent. He can go sign anywhere he wants, or he could just stay in Sweden. But I think the Sabres...
That kind of production can't be ignored.
He scored 27 goals in the Swedish Hockey League this year, and he led the league in scoring, in goal scoring, I should say. No player in the Swedish Hockey League has scored more than 25 goals in like 3 years. I mean, that league is extremely difficult to score in, and to score 27 goals is pretty impressive. So get a guy like Victor Olofsson signed to an entry-level contract, whether it's for next year or the rest of this year or what have you. I mean, they're down 3-2 in their series as of today we talk, which is Wednesday the 28th of March.
Yep.
So, I mean, they're down 3-2 in the series. Get Rasmus Asplund signed, because they're down 3-2 in their series in the Swedish Hockey League as well once his season's done. And I think Jason Botterill has pretty much touched on both, that their goal is to get both of them signed and in Rochester potentially for this playoff run, and then, you know, have their entry-level deals kick in next year. But, I mean, looking ahead, the Sabres need scoring. They need help on defense. I think Gouley and Nelson are certainly guys that they look to have for the long-term future. Will Borgen was probably your best defensive prospect, so you get him under contract, and now you kind of got to replenish the defensive depth a little bit, because you've got a guy like... you've got Oskari Laaksonen, who was this past year's draft pick in the third round, second. It wasn't second round, because Davidson and Luukkonen were the two picks in the second. So Laaksonen was third round. Jacob Bryson's another pick. He was fourth round, I think.
Yep.
A lot of people
are talking really nice things about Bryson.
Yeah, and he's only a sophomore, so he's going to probably go back to college. He's going to go back for his junior year.
Yep.
And maybe you get him signed next year. But Bryson did a lot of good things this year, too, in college. So, with this year's draft, you can add. Hopefully you get Dahlin with the first pick.
The big question is, what happens if they don't? And what would be your favorite targets? Frank, I know you know this stuff, too. So the table is open to both of you here.
If the Sabres finish last, which, you know, there's just still a good chance. They're still 3 points behind Ottawa and Vancouver Ottawa and Arizona, because Vancouver actually leaped over both of them last night. But, if they finish last, they've still got either picks 1, 2, 3, or 4. If they have 2, 3, or 4, you're going to get probably the best offensive weapon that you possibly can have, which is either Andrei Svechnikov, Brady Tkachuk, or Filip Zadina. And all three of those players are really good players, and they could potentially play in the NHL next year. They're all different players, though. Tkachuk's more of the bulldog, where he's going to go into the corners and just get his nose into anything and everything he can.
His brother Matthew.
Yes, right? Exactly. Yeah. He can score goals. He can make plays. He does just about everything he can. I think he's actually a little bit more offensively gifted than Matthew, and that's tough to say because Matthew still is a very good offensive threat, but I think that Brady brings a little bit more offensive firepower to his game. Zadina is a pure goal scorer. Yep. He just shoots all the time. He's kind of like Alex Ovechkin, but on the left side, where, you know, you put him on the power play on the left side, he just scores like crazy. He just wants to shoot the puck all the time. He wants to have the puck on his stick, and there's nothing wrong with that. At the World Juniors, he was a phenomenal player. He was one of the better players in the tournament, and he just scored a lot of goals, not as many as Kiefer Bellows, but still, he was scoring, and he was making plays and electrifying.
He helped carry the Czech Republic.
Oh, yeah. Without Zadina, the Czechs would have been nothing in that tournament. Absolutely. And then Andrei Svechnikov, maybe the best playmaker overall in the draft. I mean, he can skate really well. He makes plays. He can score goals. He can set up guys. And, you know, he even has a little bit of a grittier side to his game, too. Maybe a little bit, you know, he just recently got suspended for an illegal check that had 4 games in the OHL. But, I mean, he certainly brings a really nice overall style of game to his play that would be very valuable. And you can differentiate all three of those guys to being, who's next best after Dahlin? Any of those guys can really be next best after Dahlin. So with the Sabres, if they don't get Dahlin, they can take one of those guys. And then with their other picks that they have in the draft, you just got to replenish in defense and replenish at forward. I think your goaltending, you could probably take one more goaltender, but don't take him until, you know, maybe the 5th, 6th, or 7th round, something like that. You can afford to, because you got Luukkonen, you've got Jonas Johansson, and then after that, that's probably where you say, okay, we need some goaltending help.
All right, Brayton, your thoughts, last thing I'm going to ask you, your thoughts on just how long do you think it's going to take before this team can get back on track?
You know, I thought a little bit about it today. I thought a little bit about what the direction of this team is, where we're going, what's next, and what can we expect. This season has been probably one of the worst, if not the worst, Sabre seasons in the history of the franchise, just because, new general manager that knows what he's doing, new coach that we think he knows what he's doing, and, you know, looking ahead at Botterill, and he says, we're going to build through the AHL and all that. He's done a great job. He helped rebuild down there along with Randy Sexton, and the Amerks are going to the playoffs for the first time in 4 years. That's really impressive as it is right there. Then you look at the prospects that the Sabres have. I mean, sure, people can say, well, Alex Nylander has done really anything over the 2 years that he's been in the system. Yeah, but I mean, this year during the development camp, during the prospects challenge, at least for the first part, he looked really good. He looked like he put the effort in to get stronger and get faster. And he's getting hot now. He didn't have a great World Junior. It was all right. But at the same time, he was pretty much just kind of a more of a depth guy at the Swedish team that didn't win, unfortunately, but he still, was able to contribute. And he's playing well now. He's actually scoring again. He's putting up some production. He's trying. I mean, he's been working hard to get back to where he was before he had that injury at the Prospects Challenge. You look at some of the other prospects, and this is, I mean, you can look at guys like Brendan Gooley, CJ Smith. Those guys could potentially be in the NHL next year. There's other guys in the system, too, that, a lot less guys that are in like the OHL, the Western Hockey League, or the Q now, but you look over at Europe, you look at everywhere else. Some of those guys are going to be here next year. Rasmus Asplund, Victor Olofsson, some of those guys will actually be here in Rochester, potentially playing and developing and getting some time.
Cliff Poo's another guy
that's going to be here as well. He signed an entry-level contract. Yep. He'll be here. There's a few other guys that can potentially sign. A guy that I think certainly has earned his way into a contract is Wojtek Budik, the defenseman that was drafted in 2016 by Tim Murray. He, before going to the World Juniors, was not putting up great numbers. He was a guy that was very much on the fringe of, probably he's not going to get re-signed and he's going to go to free agency or re-enter the draft. Well, since the World Juniors, he put up a really good World Juniors, actually. Since then, he's been scoring like crazy, putting up points and, you know, contributing in all areas of the ice for Prince Albert. Yep. And he certainly played his way into a new contract. So that's another guy that could go to the AHL or could be in the ECHL at first to develop. But, I mean, there's certainly some aspect. There's certainly some assets. There's certainly some players that, you know, maybe Botterill's got another free agent, college free agent signing that he's, you know, maybe going to have in the books or, you know, coming up shortly here. Who knows? But looking ahead, next year certainly probably will be another year without the playoffs. But again, you're going to look at Rochester. You're going to look at the pieces that are going to be in the fold that are close to being ready to the NHL. It's getting closer than everybody thinks. Yes, this year it was really, really awful. But at the same time, a lot of the guys are still developing. A lot of the guys are still in the AHL developing. And the NHL roster didn't look great. But, you know, Casey Mittelstadt's going to potentially be here. Will Borgen. There's a lot of assets that will still be here and that are going to be here for next year. And it's just only going to get up from here. I think this year has been rock bottom. I'll put it out there right now. I think it has been rock bottom. And it's only going to look up from here. And hopefully... hopefully, Jason Botterill doesn't make the same mistakes Tim Murray made, because Murray made the mistakes of, oh, hey, I think we're closer than everybody thinks. I'm going to make some moves that can put us ahead. And it didn't. He made some terrible mistakes.
And I'm going to ignore our minor league development.
Yes. And he totally abandoned the minor league development and just really didn't put the Sabres in a good position. And
Tim Murray, step on a Lego.
Yeah. He just he really put the Sabres back in a hole that showed this year. Yep. And I think that Botterill, he's got more of a level head. I mean, he comes from an organization that has won for many years and understood how to properly develop their players. I mean, you look at Ottawa right now, and Ottawa's AHL team, not all that great. Their NHL team certainly isn't that great. They were one win away from the Cup last year. And this year, they're, you know, a few losses away from being the worst team in the NHL.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
the difference between that and, like, then and now for Ottawa was Craig Anderson and Erik Karlsson playing out of their minds.
Yeah.
And, now, and for Erik Karlsson to play out of his mind, that's, you know, that's a really damn good player right there.
And Erik Karlsson is still a great player, and I just still can't believe they're probably going to trade him.
Yeah, they're talking about him being traded.
I mean, Ottawa is going to hit rock bottom big time, potentially. And, I mean, the Sabres, I think, have hit it, and I think there's no other direction but up from here, because I really do think that next year's going to be another season where it's like, okay, this is a growing season. More players are still developing, while some of the other players are like, okay, Jack Eichel, Sam Reinhart, some of the other players up in the NHL probably need to step up their game another level. But then after next year, I think we can certainly see this team being a true contender as long as they continue to build the way that they have.
Brayton?
I got one other question for Brayton real quick. You were talking about guys like Victor Olofsson, Cliff Poo, Will Borgen, Rasmus Asplund coming over to Rochester next year to increase that depth. What about a couple other players that I was looking at? You mentioned Vodek Butik. I was going to ask you about him, but since you already talked about him, I don't have to. Casey Fitzgerald and Brandon Hagel. What about those two? You see those guys getting potential contracts?
I think Casey Fitzgerald probably goes another year at college. I'm trying to remember if he's a junior.
He did just finish his junior.
He's finished his junior. That's what I thought. Yeah. So he's going to be a senior next year.
Yeah.
I mean, I certainly think that another year in college would be beneficial for him. Mm-hmm. I think he's still a potential asset for the future. But I haven't heard anything yet if he's going to be leaving school. I mean, I would have expected to hear by now if he was staying in school or not. But that's something I'll have to look up on. But I think another year in college would certainly help him. He certainly could be a future asset. And, of course, the Sabres need defensive prospects, and they need defensive help down the road. So getting him signed to an entry-level contract certainly would help. But, you know, another year in college certainly would do him some good as well. A guy like Brandon Hagel, He brings some good offense. He really does. He's got some good skill, but he's just very undersized, and he really hasn't done much to bulk up over the 2 years that he's been in the system. I mean, he's been scoring in the Western Hockey League, but again, if you haven't built up any size, especially in a league like the Western Hockey League, where it is a rough and tumble league over there, and you have to have good size in order to kind of sustain yourself over there. Hagel's been able to score, and he's been able to play with some good speed, but, I mean, I don't know if Botterill's going to see him as a player that, oh, hey, you know, he hasn't built up any size to him whatsoever. He's not a guy that really kind of jumps out at you as well. So, I mean, he was a fifth or sixth round pick. Yeah. And, you know, I could see him being a guy that re-enters the NHL draft just because, you know, the Sabres and Botterill might see him as he wasn't our pick. Mm-hmm. And he hasn't really shown all that much to really put himself over the top. To really say, hey, I'm worthy of being something worth considering for the future. I don't see Brandon Hagel as a possible option. I mean, I could be totally wrong. I can see him, you know, he could be totally a guy that Botterill seems to love because he can make some offensive plays and he can seem to score. But at the same time, is he a guy that's going to bulk up any more than he has since he's been drafted? And is he going to be anything that could potentially be able to make it in the AHL or make it in the NHL?
Brayden.
Okay.
Let's do this again when the Sabres win the draft lottery.
Hopefully they do. Even then,
I'm an optimist, Brayton.
Even then, if they finish last, or even if they finish second last, if they're picking anywhere 1 through 5, they're going to get a good player.
Yeah,
they really are. Yeah. I mean, there's a little bit of a drop off after 4, but it's not much because I mean, after 4, you've got guys that could be options like Quinn Hughes or Adam Boqvist, two really good defensive prospects that could develop into some really good assets. I mean, Quinn Hughes is playing phenomenally right now for Michigan, and Michigan's going to the Final Four at the NCAA tournament. I would love to have Quinn Hughes on this team. I would love to have Adam Boqvist, but Boqvist is more of a guy that needs some fine tuning. He's a project, but if he becomes his full potential, I mean, the ceiling that I've heard on Boqvist is Erik Karlsson, which is incredible. Yeah. And Rasmus Dahlin has been considered an Erik Karlsson, Nicklas Lindstrom type of morphing of the two defensemen all into one player. And if Boqvist could even be anything like Erik Karlsson, then I'd be all for it too.
All right.
Yeah, Quinn Hughes is definitely like one of the two I would want if they're not getting Dahlin along with Boqvist.
His brother's coming out next year, and he's expected to be the top pick in the draft. So if anybody wants to go finish last again,
no more last finish. No
more. Jack Hughes.
If they get Quinn, last, I'll be fine.
Speaking of finishing last, I have to give Brayton $20.
Oh yeah, because you finished last in my in my bracket. In the pool that we run for our brackets, Derek unfortunately is officially finishing last place.
I got smoked, and here's your lesson, kids. Pick your own brackets. Don't let Frank do it for you.
I did give you UB over Arizona, though.
You did?
And I wish you were right about UB in Kentucky.
You didn't get UMBC right, though.
No. Bust. No, I don't think anyone did.
No, nobody did.
And you did pick the Bonnies to win 2 games. And that
I did.
I did, too.
So, and that's why you were in second last.
Well, I'm not in second last anymore.
Oh, not anymore.
I'm in like ninth.
After the opening round,
but I was still mathematically eliminated.
Yeah, I'm like in the second round. You were the second person mathematically eliminated. I was the first. So,
but I'm in second.
Yeah. So I'm smelling collusion from you.
Are you?
Yes. Because I was the first one eliminated.
Okay.
And you're in second.
Okay.
Don't let Frank pick your brackets, kids.
Or do it maybe yourself. That's also because
if you're gonna finish in last, make sure it's on your own accord.
I also
and by your
only had
hand.
One Final Four team of my Final Four teams in the Final Four,
get
and
this.
It's my champion.
Get this: I have 3 of my 4 final four teams still in it,
and I cannot win. And
yeah.
You were mathematically,
and I cannot win.
I can win Brayton's pool if Kansas wins it all.
I unfortunately had Arizona going to the final game, and they got upset by UB. But
and I have Virginia.
I still
in the
have
final
Michigan,
four,
Kansas, and Villanova to kind of stand and have pride over. So
I'll take that pride. I also have Virginia in the final four.
Even if I can't win, I'll take the pride of being the only one to pick 3 teams to make it to the final.
True.
Four.
And I'll take my pride of paying off my dues.
You have paid
off
your dues.
So there you go.
You've done a great job.
Officially on the podcast, I suck at picking brackets that I didn't pick myself. Brayton, thanks for coming down the hall, and we'll see you. We'll see you around on the podcast.
Oh, of course. Thank you for having me.
And we'll see you in the halls tomorrow.
Yeah, of course.
That's how we do it on Loft Oilers Podcast with our guests. So thanks, Brayton, as he heads out the door there here on the Loft Oilers Podcast. Derek Kramer, Frank Arcuri, and it's fun to think about the Sabres again.
It is.
Who would have thought it would have taken the signing of 2 college free agents? I mean, not 2 college free agents, 2 college draft
2
picks.
College prospects to be like, hey, maybe this team is relevant again.
Maybe we have hope again.
Yeah.
And again, this season has been so void of positive thinking for the Sabres that there's no reason to think happily about them.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? Let's shift.
It's still
shift.
Okay.
It's time.
Okay.
The Cleveland Browns, according to a report from Chris Mortensen yesterday from ESPN, said that the Browns are down to two guys, Sam Darnold and Josh Allen. I'm kind of worried. I'm kind of worried.
It does worry you a little because the Giants have also made it known. I don't know if that's a smokescreen. I don't know if the Mortensen report's a smokescreen as well. But the Giants have made it known that the only QB they want is Darnold.
I mean, let's be real. If Cleveland's smokescreening anything, it's probably to try to fool the Jets. And
maybe
end up with Darnold themselves. And for Cleveland to end up with Darnold themselves.
Maybe.
Here's some... Like, because if Cleveland,
okay.
If Cleveland
conspiracy theory.
Hang on, if Cleveland doesn't take Darnold, it's the most elaborate smokescreen of smokescreens because Jimmy Haslam was hanging out with his parents, on the pro day.
I know.
Do you think a GM could go ahead and say, "Yo, owner, my boss, go talk to Sam Darnold's parents so that we can fool everyone"? Do you think he's gonna do that? No.
I conspiracy theory. They're doing exactly what the Bills are doing. And maybe scaring the Jets into trading up to one so they can get more picks and then trade out of four.
But if the Giants want Darnold,
no, it's for the Jets to trade up to take Allen.
But again, then Cleveland would need to work their way back to number two. Because if the Giants
would have
want Darnold, Darnold's available.
They would have the picks to do it, though.
I know.
Because it's 3-2. And they have four, which they could also trade out of as well and get more picks.
It doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't, no. I don't know. Like I said, conspiracy theory.
Here's my problem. I'm worried about the Browns taking Josh Allen. Because if that's the case and the Giants do react and they do take Darnold, that's two guys gone and two picks.
Yep.
Jets take a third guy. Now they don't know what they're doing. It's either Rosen or Mayfield at that point.
Mm-hmm.
They're probably panicking.
Mm-hmm.
Denver has been linked to Baker Mayfield since the Senior Bowl.
Yep.
Could we see four quarterbacks in possibly even four picks because the Broncos could feel insecure enough about Buffalo that they take no chances and trade to Cleveland to four?
It might happen.
Giving up picks to do that.
It might.
Or the Bills trade into number four and take Mayfield themselves, making it four quarterbacks and four picks.
There was a report saying that the Bills do like him.
Yes, that was actually from our own Jeremy White.
Yeah.
That
I know Jeremy said that, yeah.
But again, you're not hearing too much about Baker Mayfield these days. Not since his pro day.
Yeah.
And I brought this up with Joe DiBiase yesterday on the nightcap when we filled in for Ryan Gates. That I think that there's more of hype men going on than anything else. Baker Mayfield's not a guy who's got an agent that's a hype man. He just wants to go and play football. He just wants to compete right now. That's what I think it is with Baker Mayfield. Lamar Jackson, he doesn't have an agent. You're not hearing anything about Lamar Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
You're hearing more about Mason Rudolph these days than you are about Lamar Jackson. Or even Baker Mayfield. Depending on where you are, you might be hearing more about Rudolph than Mayfield.
Yeah.
So, I'm not sure.
And this could be just all hype.
It could be all hype. It could be all smokescreen.
Yeah.
Coughing could be doing its work. Maybe
a lot
even
of
wheezing.
Work. Yeah. Oh, this is the work of wheezing, not coughing.
Yeah. Hell, a Charmeleon can know smoke screens.
Yeah,
that's true. All of those are going to be in the background, by the way. I'm a nerd. Don't judge me. Actually, fine. Judge me.
He can take it.
I'll take it. I'll take your ass down as a Pokemon. Let's go. Let's go, son. That's a challenge.
Yeah. All right. No, I would still think the Browns are going to take Darnold at one.
Yeah, I hear you there. I think that...
I don't think the signing of Drew Stanton really says that they're thinking of Allen.
No, and it looks like that was more or less about trading Cody Kessler. I'll give you that one, Joe.
Sure.
They got what was it?
A conditional 2019 seventh.
So they basically gave him away.
So basically nothing.
So why even try to trade him? Just cut him. Just cut him.
You know what?
Let him pick his destiny.
You know what? Maybe Blake Bortles is going to play so bad that they may put in Cody Kessler.
That they gave up one string of green beans for Cody Kessler?
And that one play that Cody Kessler has is enough to give the Browns another pick.
I don't get it.
I don't get it either. Just cut it. It would have been easier.
It's a conditional seventh round pick.
It's literally nothing.
In 2019. Not even this year. So what?
Yeah.
Come on.
It's literally nothing.
You gave him away for nothing.
They just wanted the roster spot.
The Bills got more for Cardale Jones, and Kessler actually started games in the NFL.
It's true.
So that goes ahead and tells you what the value was for Cody Kessler.
Yeah.
They just signed Drew Stanton to replace Cody Kessler.
Pretty much.
They basically, I think that was more disrespectful than cutting him.
Probably.
I mean, what would you rather do? Be released by a team or be traded for a conditional 2019 seventh round pick?
A conditional pick next year.
That may or may not exist.
Considering that it's also from the Browns.
No, it's from the Jaguars.
Well, would you rather get traded from the Browns or cut by the Browns? Considering who they are, the Browns.
I mean, the Browns make bad decisions all the time.
Yeah.
So either case doesn't really matter.
This is a bad decision. Cody Kessler is going to be a franchise quarterback.
That's an interesting question. Would you rather be cut or traded by the Browns? Mm-hmm. And you know what? I think I'd rather say cut, because then I'd at least get to pick the next team I go to.
True. That's fair.
Now instead he's got to deal with Maroney Baloney and
and play behind Blake Bortles.
And play behind Blake Bortles and veteran to be named. Did they sign a backup for Chad Henne?
I don't know. I'm going to look at that up.
The backup quarterback situation in Jacksonville is so careless that I don't even care.
It's very intriguing.
No, it's not.
No, it's not. Let's go to the Jags site.
Why would you even fake that?
Because Blake Bortles is a starter.
All right. Anyway, I think Cleveland, though, it's linked to Sam Darnold, and it makes enough sense there.
Yeah.
And if Josh Allen is the pick, it throws things so out of whack that I don't know what happens. Maybe it causes enough chaos. Maybe the Jets truly love Josh Allen so much that they trade back.
Maybe. By the way, Blake Bortles, as of today, before the Kessler trade, is the only quarterback on the roster.
Oh, so they actually needed a quarterback.
Yeah.
So why didn't the Browns just get an actual seventh-round pick instead of a conditional one?
Because they wanted the roster spot, I guess.
Actual seventh-round pick.
Eh. They think the actual roster spot is more valuable than getting something for Cody Kessler. So they easily should have just cut him.
Yeah.
But whatever. Okay, whatever. He's on, you know, good for Cody Kessler. He's on a team. Okay? Because if he got cut, there's a very likely chance he wouldn't have gotten signed anyway.
Eh. You'd be surprised what backup quarterbacks can get in the NFL when it comes to run.
True. I'll give you that.
Unless you knew for the anthem. Oh, yeah. I'm not going to go there. You know what? Yeah, I did.
You just did. So, I still think the Browns are going to take Darnold at one. I think they're just exploring all their options.
Yeah, I think that
they're releasing the hype of Allen, because you said it yesterday on the nightcap.
Allen's got a hype, man.
A really good agent.
Get you a love like Josh Allen's got a hype, man.
Yeah. God, he's got a website that says draftjoshallen.com.
I don't think that's run by him.
It's not run by him. But somebody made a website that's called draftjoshallen.com. And it was somebody who works at Barstool. I know that.
Okay, then that's not a hype man thing.
No, it's not a hype man thing.
But that might be more satire than anything.
It's hilarious. But the fact that he's got that, okay? Because if Sam Darnold had a similar,
let's not go too far down a rabbit hole here, Frank. Trying to stay focused today.
So Darnold's going one?
I think Darnold's going one.
I still think so.
I think I'm not buying this Josh Allen thing.
No.
I don't even know why they're doing it. It just makes enough sense that Darnold goes one.
Yeah. You can say they're doing it because they can. They have the first pick. They can do whatever they want.
There are 28 days to the draft.
And there are 28 days to the draft, yes.
So who knows?
Browns can do whatever they want. Pretty much.
True.
So why not just do whatever you want?
Mm-hmm. There's too much time to it. There's too much time.
So much time. Yeah.
There's way too much time between now and the draft.
There is.
We're gonna drive everyone crazy.
I'm already crazy. I'm already crazy.
From the theories that are going to come up from this stuff.
I'm already crazy.
Full Pokemon team knowing smokescreen. That's all the teams in the top five right now.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know.
So, but again, I think the biggest thing here for the Bills is they still need to do something.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what that is. Do they trade up a couple spots to make sure to avoid anything from the Dolphins or the Chargers or the Cardinals trying something funny and get Lamar Jackson? That might be the step that they want to take. If they want to get into the top five, that's going to be a tough bargain to go for there.
Yep.
Denver could be a team that doesn't want a quarterback. We don't know.
Denver could be a team that wants a quarterback that can sit.
We don't know. While Baker Mayfield's been commonly plugged in there, Denver could just pass on a quarterback here altogether.
They could.
They could.
Yeah.
What I don't want is for the Bills to settle on anything.
Yeah.
If you're going to do it, go get
them. They need to get their guy.
Get yourself in position to get that guy.
Yes.
I'll believe you if you've made a move to go get someone, or even if you draft someone at 12. Mm-hmm. I will believe you.
Yeah.
Because that means you're trusting the board to fall your way.
Yeah.
If you take your quarterback at 12 or move up slightly from 12, that means you trusted your board.
Yeah. Yep.
However, if you don't take one till 22 or even the second round, that means you did something wrong.
Yeah. You settled.
You either did something wrong, you settled, which is my something wrong, or
yeah,
nobody wanted to work with you, which would hurt. And at that point, if no one wants to work with you, take 22 or even take number 12 there. Trade it for another first rounder next year.
Yeah. Trade down again and get a first
because Ryan
first
Finley
again.
And Will Greer are some pretty good quarterbacks.
Okay. That's true. Yeah.
Look at that. I did so much scouting, I still know quarterbacks from next year's draft class. No stone was left unturned.
Yeah.
Now, again, I think, though, that the Bills still have themselves in a good position to do something, as long as they do something. I'm okay. I'm going to believe what they do, no matter what they do,
mm-hmm.
as long as it's not showing me that they're settling.
Yeah. They got to get their guy, and I'm pretty sure they don't know who their guy is right now.
I think they do know who their guy is, and they are no team's going to let that stuff out.
No, of course not.
No. The Bills definitely aren't going to let stuff out.
I think, I don't think they know who their guy is because I think they're trying to figure out who their top three are.
No. I think we don't know who their top guys are.
That could be true.
That's it.
Okay.
We can speculate all day. I think they know their guys. They have to. It's March. It's the end of March. If they don't know their guys, they deserve to be fired. They've got their board set up.
They could be trying to figure out maybe their order.
The question is not the order. Their question is going to be how these players are perceived in value and what it's going to take to move up for what. To get that player.
Mm-hmm.
And again, the theory that we've brought up several times now on this podcast, the Bills will be reactive.
Yes.
They're going to see how the board falls and they're going to react.
Yes.
Based on what their personal board is and how the draft board is actually falling
mm-hmm.
on April 28th.
Yeah.
Not 28th, excuse me. But look, everything about the draft is still going to be wacko. They're going to find out what happens. And this is the 26th, right? Am I off? I'm off a couple days.
26,
yes. I was off a couple days when I said that. Because I didn't do the math. Look, everything about this draft is... It's not just that there's some good quarterbacks at the top. There's a lot of them.
Yeah.
Tier 1 and Tier 2 are a pretty lengthy thing. The drop-off comes after 5 quarterbacks. Personally, I think 4. But that's still a lot. That's a lot more than usually draft classes of players that you'd even consider in 2 rounds.
Mm-hmm.
Look at last year's draft class. It was supposed to be Trubisky, then Mahomes-Watson, and then Cliff. A couple of years back, Winston, Mariota.
Yep.
Cliff.
Yep.
Nothing else. Goff, Wentz. Nobody else you trust.
Yep.
It's just going that way. This draft, there is no steep cliff until 5 or 6 quarterbacks deep. There are six guys that have been realistically talked about as first-round candidates. And even then, Kyle Lauletta at number 7 on the rankings, probably not going to be a total bust in that. I mean, if you draft him, maybe he develops into something. We don't know. But there's at least six quarterbacks deep that you can go ahead and say the names. You've watched them. Mm-hmm. You know their names.
We followed them.
You follow everything that they've done.
Us as Bills fans followed them this year.
Yeah.
We followed six quarterbacks.
We had the college text club.
Yeah.
That was a thing.
Yeah.
We looked at tons of quarterbacks this year.
Yep.
And it got narrowed down to six in the end.
Mm-hmm.
As it should have been. While I don't know if the merits of Josh Allen deserve to be what they are, and I'm not sure if Mason Rudolph will be anything more than Andy Dalton. I'll ask Bills fans how Andy Dalton is perceived around here. It's not a bad thing, is it?
Yeah.
Guy only made the playoffs to start his career how many years?
Four.
I think it was more than four. I think it was like five.
Five?
Or, yeah.
Something like that.
Something like that. He was in the playoffs for a long stretch, just out in the first round all the time.
Yep. You know, it's because it's on Cincy.
Yeah, but again, he, while having A.J. Green always helps, it's, does. You know, Andy Dalton's not a terrible quarterback.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens.
First 5 years.
First 5 years.
No, four. Sorry, I wasn't four.
It was 4 years.
They missed the playoffs and, wait, did they make it in 2015? Yeah, they did. They did, but Dalton didn't play that game.
That's right, because he got hurt.
Yep.
He was leading his team to the playoffs, and that's when A.J. McCarron showed up.
Yep.
And then,
because that was the game Burfict knocked out Antonio Brown, and Cincinnati had like all those penalties.
Yeah, Adam Jones and Vontaze Burfict ruined the game for them.
Exactly. Yeah. And the Steelers won because they just kicked a couple
Jeremy
Hill
fumbled the ball late in the game.
Exactly. That too. Yep. That's right.
That's right. A.J. McCarron was going to win a playoff game, and then. Their defense decided, we're going to just start grabbing all of the penalties and...
all the personal fouls.
Yeah.
The worst ones.
Yeah. That rivalry has gotten a little too rough and tumble there.
Yeah.
All right. I think we're loopy.
I'm pretty...
We're distracted. We had all of our good questions for Brayton.
Yeah.
All of our good thoughts were pumped into the Sabres. Look at that.
Hey, Sabres.
It's not a rainy day. It's a cloudy day. It's not. Yesterday was a rainy day.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean it was metaphorically a rainy day.
Yep. It's interesting to see.
It's fun to be talking about the Sabres again.
Yeah. Fun to talk about Sabres, and it's fun to really be hyped about something.
It's maddening to think about the draft.
But it's very maddening.
It's maddening to think about the draft. It's fun to talk about the Sabres again. Hey, why not go to the last two games if you can?
Why not?
Why not? There's a bobblehead and an NHL debut.
A really awesome bobblehead.
Yeah, that bobblehead is dope.
Yeah.
Want it. There's an NHL debut going on Thursday.
Yeah.
And then there's a bobblehead for your season finale or your
really
home finale.
Really cool bobblehead of the best goalie ever.
Dominic Hasek.
Yes.
Let's go.
Let's go.
Hey, let's go.
Let's go. Might be there.
All right. So we're going to work on it. We're looking to be back on Sunday here for the Leftovers podcast.
Yes.
Follow us on Twitter. I'm at Derek Kramer, WGR.
At Frank R. Curry. Then you'll find the spelling in the description.
You always will. That's
always,
how we do it.
There. Yeah.
Also, shout out to Ben Wagner, Pat Malcaro.
Yes.
Because Ben Wagner, he's been the voice of the Bisons for 11 years.
11 years.
Everyone that's trained in Entercom, going through WGR, they've worked a Bisons game.
You've worked. That's usually where you start.
That's where you start.
Yeah.
You start working Bisons games. With guess Ben, what? Ben Wagner, Pat Malacaro, both getting promotions, calls up. Ben Wagner going from the Bisons now to the Toronto Blue Jays. Sportsnet 590, right?
Yes.
Yes.
590 The Fan. He is now the radio voice of the Blue Jays. Pat Malacaro was always Ben's second in command. They would always split duties during the game along with Duke McGuire. Now Pat Wagner. Pat Malacaro is now the full-time broadcaster, play-by-play guy for the Buffalo Bisons. So it'll be him and Duke now.
Him and Duke most days. And hey, congrats to both of them.
Congrats to both of them. You know,
they're awesome people. Bro Radio live on forever.
Yeah, great people to work with.
Forever, rest in power, Bro Radio, as the dynamic duo does end up getting split up there. But Ben and Pat, Congratulations to both of them.
It was well deserved.
As they get their next step up in their careers.
It shows what hard work can do.
Yeah. So thanks for listening. Congrats to Ben and Pat as they go on Bison season. Hey, guess what? Opening day is tomorrow.
Yeah, for MLB, baseball. Yeah.
And Ben's going to be on the call with the road stop with the Yankees.
Can't wait.
So, Pat and the Bisons, they get started Friday.
Yep.
You can hear that on ESPN 1520 here in Buffalo. So, congrats to those guys. Baseball coming around. And Frank will have baseball takes here on the Leftovers.
Of course.
I don't. I'm not baseball smart. I'll learn from Frank. So, we'll see what happens then.
We'll try.
Thanks for listening. We'll catch you next time.
Are you looking for a pro football podcast that doesn't put you to sleep with spreadsheets or insult you with mindless hot takes? Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast with Dan Hanses and Mark Sessler wherever you get your podcasts.